I invite you to gather together so we can begin worship. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. That's what Paul wrote to the church in Rome. Come, my friends, to worship and to pray. When we meet together, God is here. Welcome to Kern Road Mennonite Church for worship this morning. We welcome each of you as we sing, pray, and listen in the community gathered. We'll share in communion this morning, and we'll receive the bread and a cup, symbols of Jesus' love for us. Today's the final week in a series of worship services with the theme, Love is a Verb. When I think of love, I think of songs that were popular, especially when I was younger, and songs such as, and some of you will recognize this, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. That was sung by Jackie DeShannon, and she, 4 years later, wrote and sang, Put a Little Love in Your Heart. I invite you to use the words of the verses I read as a meditation and prayer. Think of your fellow man. Lend him a helping hand. Put a little love in your heart. You see, it's getting late. Oh, please don't hesitate. Put a little love in your heart, and the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Another day goes by, still the children cry. Put a little love in your heart. If you want the world to know, we won't let hatred grow. Put a little love in your heart. And all the world will be a better place for you and me. You just wait and see. Wait and see. At about the same time, worldwide satellite communication was in its infancy. 50 years ago, the first worldwide live television broadcast was planned. 14 countries were involved in producing it, featuring artists from around the world. It included the likes of the Beatles and Pablo Picasso. The Beatles wrote a song especially for the broadcast. And what was the message that they felt they wanted the world to hear? They wrote for that broadcast, All You Need Is Love, which is still known today very well. But that was also a time when there was intense war in Vietnam, a civil rights movement at home that included riots and assassinations of leaders, environmental pollution, and a nuclear arms race among the superpowers. Perhaps it isn't so different from today. All we really need is love. So we're gathered here this morning in a sanctuary, a safe place separate from the world, and yet very much in the world. God is always here among us. For now, we will worship with meditations, with our eyes closed to eliminate distractions, and our eyes wide open to the world that we live in. Let us begin by singing together and affirming in song that indeed God is here among us, number 16 in the blue hymnal.
Number 16.
God is here among us.
Turn to number 14, Come We That Love the Lord. This is sort of a marching kind of rhythm to it, so let's stand and you can march if you want to. Come We That Love the Lord, number 14. Another song that invites us to come, number 12. Come, let us all unite to sing, especially noting a theme of our last number of services on love. God is love. Number 12, come, let us all unite to sing.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Today I'll be reading from 1 John 4, 7 through 16. We're reading all the way through. We're not just reading verse 16 after 12. So it's a little different. Before I begin, I would love for all of you to take in a little bit of maybe what was going on in that time when this letter was written. At that time in history, in the Greco-Roman world, debate, letter writing, argumentation was a bit of a rock star kind of thing that was going on. There were philosophers and teachers were considered extremely important. They were extremely popular. They were like rock stars. And so the better that you could argue your point and put things and write things down and make argumentation, the more people followed you. Not that this particular writer was looking to be followed, but many people did ascribe to certain people and said, I follow such and such and I follow such and such. But what is going on here is you're seeing a lot of this kind of literary gymnastics going on. And so sometimes when we're reading some of these things, we tend to like, oh yeah, yeah, we've heard this before and it keeps getting repeated. But I hope that you'll maybe take in maybe some of the gist of what they're getting at and what was important to them and why they were saying things in the way that they were saying them. So let's read this word. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only son, into the world that we might live through him. And this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an at-one-ing sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He has given us his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so, in light of this, we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them.
Number 117 in the Purple Songbook, Sing the Story, How Can I Say? It's a song that really picks up on the theme of the scripture that was read, love of God and loving each other. We'll sing through it twice. That's the way the music is written, with a separate, with a different ending at the end of the second time through. Number 117. Look upon
Okay, let's take another jump into the refreshing counsel of 1 John. This epistle to us, like a breath of fresh air, isn't it? This epistle to us, love one another, like a tall glass of lemonade on a hot day. Encouraging us to love, encouraging us to understand God is love. And don't we need that? This week, angry rhetoric increases between the U.S. and North Korea. And words matter. We know that words can lead to war. This week, white nationalists, white supremacists on the University of Virginia campus bringing torches and words of hatred for people of color. We know words and actions matter. Our posture toward people around us who may be different from us, it matters. This week, bullying and violence in our neighborhoods and communities. So into this blow the fresh winds of the Spirit. You know, into this mess, God is love. God is love. God's love infuses our world. God's love infuses us. Sometimes we may be tempted to say, well, where is it? I don't see it. The fresh winds of the Spirit blowing God's love. We are empowered to be people of God's love, even in the midst of this. And so this week, you and I also encounter hard things that do not make the top stories in the news feed. A neighbor in need, a coworker who is struggling, someone who is afraid, a person who has been traumatized numerous years ago and lives with the pain of that. And of course, we bring our own fears and pain and needs and worry for ourselves and the ones we love. And into this, into all this, into our very real concerns, blow the fresh winds of the Spirit. God is love. God's love infuses our world, infuses us, and we are empowered by this love. You know, sometimes I read these words and I say, what? This is like a different language. It looks so foreign in this world. It looks so foreign in my life. And then I think of all the people who have dwelt with these words, all the people who have read the words of 1 John or heard them spoken in myriad languages throughout time. It's not just us sitting here on a Sunday morning. Think of it. When we take in these words, we are taking in something that has strengthened and empowered people throughout many ages, people who were also living with human hurting and violence and power grabbing and war. And they too were saying, God is love. If we live in God, we live in love. If we live in love, then the Spirit of God is dwelling with us. Through all these times, all these places, the Spirit of God has been infusing the world with love. Now that gives me hope. Through all these times and places, God has been empowering anyone who is willing to receive the Spirit of love, empowering them to live in ways beyond their own strength, to be people of God's love in many challenging situations and circumstances. And we, people of Kern Road, are part of this great company of people holding these words, holding this truth, and pondering how we too can live this kind of love in our world, wondering how we too can be God's love in the world. It is powerful, it is subtle, and it is not in the news. Now, the news will try to sell you a truth, regardless of which news you're listening to. But there is also a truth going on beneath the surface. Even now, I think a great gathering of people, people of love, people of organized religion and unorganized religion, people committed to living in this spirit of love. I recently came across the publications of another denomination who have adopted the theme, standing on the side of love. You know, trying to get us to think and to know that we are part of a great force of people throughout the world whom God is empowering with the Spirit to be people standing on the side of love, standing with love, standing in love, being love. And this, I believe, is God's doing. Well, how can 1 John help us, speak to us? I found a few golden nuggets in the scripture passage we have today. It may seem, as Beth said, that this is a writer who is making kind of a circular argument, and all this person is really doing is saying, love, 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 love God. But there is also some progression and teaching going on here. The first thing he seems to drive home to the people that he is writing to is that we are loved by God. And the first clue for this, if we look at the section that we read today, is the use of the word dear friends. Dear friends is in verse 7. Dear friends is repeated again in verse 11. The use of dear friends, in other translations, it's beloved or loved ones. And so this is how he's beginning or in the middle of this cheerleading, this pepping up people. He addresses them as beloved, you people who are already loved. It's the first clue to us. He writes them as people who are loved. When I know I am loved by somebody, I'm a whole lot more likely to listen to them, to learn from them. If somebody in a sincere way shows me that I am loved, treats me like I am loved, I enter the discussion in a totally different way. And you know, your best teachers know this. You watch them in the classroom. Because if we feel loved, we are much more open to what comes to us, to enter the discussion. And so we readers are addressed that way. My people that I love, beloved, people who are loved by God. 6 times we see this in this letter, and it's kind of an underlying basis. You are loved, loved by God. And the early readers also had a sense of being loved by this pastor who was writing them. It all starts here, he says. It all starts here. That you are loved. That you are loved by God. God has loved us first. And so everything I'm going to say after this, he says, starts there. That you are loved. Now, because of who we are and what we've experienced in our own lives, how we've been loved or not loved by people in our lives, this affects how we receive the love of God. And God knows this, that we're all so different. It's my belief that God is able to love us in ways we can receive it. And it may look different for me or for you, but that God's love is permeating our lives. Some of us have a hard time believing God's love for us. For some, it comes more easily. But I believe that God is constantly working with you, with me, in ways we can understand that we are loved. So this is where it starts, with God's love for us. We are in touch with God's love for us, and this is a starting place for loving others. And then he progresses on. This writer says, second, not only are you loved by God, but Jesus shows us the way. Jesus is God's way of showing love for the world, for us. Now, some of you may have heard the name Gertrude Roten. She was a beloved Greek professor at Anabaptist Mennonite Biblical Seminary. She taught New Testament Greek. She was one of the very few early women professors. She taught New Testament Greek, and she especially loved the Gospel of John and the letters of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And she would say, as she was teaching that, that the life and death and way of Jesus is of crucial significance for 1 John, for the life of the early believers, because Jesus really is our best picture of God's love for the world, for humankind. And Jesus also reveals God's expectations for us that we be people of love. What we think about Jesus impacts the way we live. What we think about Jesus impacts the way we love. And so as a human being, as God in human form, Jesus is a human living in a human world, and we are encouraged to attempt a way of life, love, that otherwise looks impossible, right? But because we have Jesus' example, we say no. Jesus dwelt in God's love, lived in God's love, died in God's love. We are encouraged to attempt this way of life rather than say, no, that's just impossible. In other words, Jesus came to show us how to live, to show us what God's love looks like in a human world. And not only that, but Jesus also shows us what it looks like to live in love with God, to be united and reconciled with God. Jesus reconciles us to God. In verse 10, we read that this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beth read it, at-oneing, atonement, at-one-ment, making one. Now, a very common way for people to understand atoning sacrifice is that God was mad at us humans for our sins, and God had to be paid back, had to be appeased. God was angry and needed blood to make it right and forgive us. But that is a later understanding. When the early church read this and heard this, that was not even a theory yet. It was not even a thing yet. Instead, their minds would go back to the Hebrew Old Testament way of understanding. What they believed was not that God had to be appeased or placated. Rather, the image they had was that a block had come between them and God. And God had been acting throughout history to get through that block that was blocking people between God and God had been acting throughout history to remove that block between God and humans. There is a sense in Hebrew thought that God is actively working at reaching us, reconciling us, pursuing reconciliation with us. God is doing something to remove what stands in the way between us. And then God sent Jesus as a way to remove that which blocks reconciliation between us and God. And so Jesus is the one who comes alongside to make reconciliation possible. Now, I can think of times when another person who has walked alongside has made reconciliation more possible. We just can't always do that ourselves, can we? Think of it. Think of a time when you are really frustrated and mad, and someone else who is at the moment, and you love them, and someone else at the moment who you trust comes along, and they're calmer, and they're just in a different state of mind, and they make the way possible. They help you be reconciled. And I think of teachers in our congregation who are in the classroom or who have been in the classroom, who have given hours to children in our community. I think of many teachers. I think especially of Kathy Streeter doing the work she has done in restorative justice. And all of our teachers, they certainly know what it's like to be in the midst of a conflict and knowing that your role is to make reconciliation possible. To change it up in some way, to make reconciliation possible. I think of people like Brandon Waggy, who taught an adult ed class on restorative justice, and others who are involved in restorative justice, who go into a wide variety of situations, listening to victims, listening to offenders, and working to restore justice, to make the way possible for some kind of reconciliation. We know how helpful it is to have an advocate walking alongside us, tending the process, and helping us to remove the things that block our reconciliation. And this is one of the pictures we have of Jesus, the atoning sacrifice, the one who works along with God to remove that that is blocking us from God. So Jesus shows us the way. You know, we're in a time of great diverse spirituality, and it is a very common thing for people to pick and choose and say, this I'll believe, this I won't believe, this is how I'm constructing my belief system. But the letter of 1 John offers us something helpful, I think, in saying, you know, Jesus has shown us the way. And so the kind of love Jesus shows us, oh my goodness, it's challenging to do. And it would be much easier for us to say, I can be a good person, but I don't really have to love that hard, or I don't really have to love that sacrificially. And Jesus is the one who shows us what God's love means and what God's love is capable of. So one, we know we're loved by God. Two, Jesus shows us the way. And three, the Spirit is at work within us. Not only are we loved by God, but the Spirit helps us, empowers us, is at work within us. We can't love this divine love on our own, but the Spirit is at work in us, a power greater than ourselves to propel us in the way of love with power not of our own making. And there are two little beautiful references in this section we read today and the section right before it. Right before it in John, 1 John 3:24, there is a little hint that the way we do this is with the Spirit. Those who keep God's commands live in God and God in them. And this is how we know that God lives in us. We know it by the Spirit God gave us. This is what enables us to live and to love God and to love others. And the sense here with that verb used is that the Spirit has been given to us. And once the Spirit is given, it has an enduring effect in us. In other words, we can't lose the Spirit, right? We can't say, oh, okay, I just don't have that Spirit anymore. No, the Spirit keeps on working in us. It is given to us as a gift, and it has an enduring effect. It is in us. It is available to us as we call on it. It will work in us whether we call for it or not, but the more we are aware of the Spirit, the more we can depend on the Spirit and live in the Spirit and count on the Spirit empowering us to love in ways that we don't think we can love. It keeps working on us. It helps us not only to love others, but also to abide in God, to remain in God. And then in this passage, a verse as well, 1 John 4:13. And this is how we know that we live in God and God in us. God has given us his Spirit. It's like this secret that's just penetrating these pages. This is how you love. God has loved you so much. God has given you the Spirit. And the Spirit will help you in this love. And so, Kern Road, God is love. If we live in love, we live in God, and God lives in us. And this love, quite naturally and in a challenging way, will flow from us to others. And so how can we do this? How does this happen? How can we, mere human beings, as limited as we are, even begin to show this kind of love? Well, we know that God loves us. We know that Jesus shows us the way. We know that the Spirit is at work in us. It endures in us, has a stubborn place in us, helping us to love. And so, imagine if you and I could keep growing in this kind of loving. Imagine if you and I could grow deeper and deeper in our sense that God loves us. Why don't you take one and pass it on? Lauren, I wonder if you could help that section
No problem.
Have hearts. Elise, I wonder if you could help that far section have hearts. Imagine, what if you and I could keep growing in our understanding of God's love for us? Imagine what would happen if we could keep understanding that Jesus shows us the way. Imagine if our main language was a love language. Imagine if we spoke love and forgiveness wherever we went. Imagine. Imagine if you and I were so convinced of the power of the Spirit working in us. Imagine what might happen. What if love was just spilling out all over? Imagine that. Imagine if peace and justice rolled right off of us. If you have some extra hearts, you may want to share them with people that don't have them. Last two rows. So, whatever you face this week, today, in the months to come, remember, we have God loving us. We have Jesus showing us the way. We have the Spirit working in us. And we have one another to encourage us. Let's go do our loving.
One of the older hymns of the church that is much loved and well known is number 44 in your green book, The Love of God. In fact, this song is 100 years old this year, written in 1917, and just so expressive of how vast God's love is and how we even have trouble understanding it, but yet that love is there for us to enjoy and experience in our lives. Let's stand as we sing, The Love of God.
Thank you.
We have the privilege of sharing in communion together this morning, sharing in the bread and cup. If you are a believer, if you have spoken publicly of your desire to follow Jesus, we invite you to join in this feast with us. If you have not yet done that, we look forward to the day when you do that, and we invite you to taste and see that the Lord is good and go back to the welcome desk to receive a blessing. And children, you may go there as well. If you prefer to be served in your seat, raise your hand and Siobhan will come to serve you. Otherwise, you're welcome to come forward in three lines to receive the bread and the cup. Let's pray together. God of grace, your mercy and goodness overflow each day, filling us with a harvest of love. Thank you for this bread of Christ, blessed by earth, hand, and heaven. May your Spirit feed us with this bread, nourishing our bodies, minds, and spirits. Love of God, your faithfulness roots our lives, holding us with patience and grace. Thank you for this cup of Christ, blessed by earth, hand, and heaven. May your Spirit satisfy us with this cup, quenching the thirsts of our bodies, minds, and spirits. Amen. Hear this blessing from Jan Richardson. And the table will be wide, and the welcome will be wide, and the arms will open wide to gather us in, and our hearts will open wide to receive. And we will come as children who trust there is enough, and we will come unhindered and free, and our aching will be met with bread, and our sorrow will be met with drink. And we will open our hands to the feast without shame, and we will turn toward each other without fear. And we will give up our appetite for despair, and we will taste and know of delight. And we will become bread for a hungering world, and we will become drink for those who thirst. And the blessed will become the blessing, and everywhere will be the feast. Would you come and join in the feast? Servers, I invite you to come forward.